Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
One of the great secrets to living the successful Christian life is that you not strive at it alone. God intends for you to strive together with Him and with your church family and other Christian friends. Next on Daily in the Word, stay tuned for a brand new series, Striving Together. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. This past summer, we celebrated our 25th anniversary of ministry at Lancaster Baptist Church, and in commemoration of that event, Dr. Chapel preached a sermon series entitled Striving Together. In that series, he challenged us once again to continue living the successful and fruitful Christian life by striving together with the Lord and with each other. And we hope that this series will be a great encouragement and blessing to your heart as you discover once again that striving together is what the Christian life is all about. Before we hear today's message, I do want to remind you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. That's one of our ways of striving together with you and trying to encourage your spiritual growth. You'll find lots of resources and information about this ministry as well. All of it at dailyintheword.org. Well, today we begin with the theme verse of this series, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Here's Dr. Paul Chapel in the message, Striving Together.
Because we have the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, then we all can walk with one Spirit. It is developed by the Holy Spirit. Let me say this secondly. It is demonstrated by spiritual Christians. Now, this matter of striving together is the testimony of godly Christians. Carnal Christians don't work together. Carnal marriages bicker and fight. But Spirit-filled Christians have harmony from the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said in John 17, 21, as He prayed to the Father, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. You see, the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ is that His church would strive together in unity, striving with one Spirit. The Bible speaks of this matter of unity as first being predicated by the need for truth in our lives. For in John 17, 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth." And then He said, "Bring them into unity that around the truth they might serve together." Galatians 5 and verse 13 says it this way, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Friends, I'm challenging you this morning from the Word of God that we would stand together for the truth, but that we would strive together in one Spirit, and that together we would make a difference in this community for the honor and glory of God. I was reading this past week about a city I really had never studied before. I've never been there. North Platte, Nebraska. Anybody here this morning from Nebraska? Raise your hand if you're from Nebraska. Let me see. That's what I thought. Not very many, if any. One or two, all right? One or two. Welcome. We're glad you're here. And I was reading about North Platte. You can tell me more about this if you know about it after the service. But 10 days after the attack on Pearl Harbor, word came to North Platte, Nebraska, that there was going to be a company of soldiers, Company D from the National Guard, that would come through their city. And so a host, several hundred people, decided that they would go to the train station. And as these young men were shipping out to fight for their country, that these citizens of North Platte would come and they would bring cakes and cookies and Bibles and coffee, and they would be well-wishers and they would be encouragers of these soldiers. Well, all of the well-wishers showed up and the train pulled in. The only problem was it was not Company D from Nebraska, it was Company D from Kansas. And so at first they didn't really know what to do. They thought it's the wrong group, and should we wait or what do we do? And suddenly one young lady, she went up to one of the soldiers and she said, "Here's a cake that I cook for you." And when she did that, another young lady went to a soldier and said, "Here's some cookies that I cook for you. I'll be praying for you." And then an elderly woman said, "Here's a Bible. I hope this will be a blessing to you." And then a teenage boy said, "Here's a sandwich my mother made for you." And one by one, about 500 people came, and they gave something of encouragement to those soldiers coming through. The town later organized what was called in World War II something called a canteen. And for the next 4.5 years, the people of North Platte, Nebraska, made sandwiches and cakes, and they made all kinds of goodies and put together packages and wrote nice letters to the soldiers. And some days, as many as 8,000 soldiers came through North Platte, Nebraska. And in fact, by the time the last train had arrived on April the 1st, 1946, 6 million soldiers had come through North Platte, Nebraska. And 6 million soldiers, because of one unified little town, had been encouraged along their way. The author who wrote about this, Bob Green, in his book, Once Upon a Town, he went to the citizens of the town and he did his research and asked his questions about what they did and how they gave and what brought them together. And then he went beyond that and he went and found some of the soldiers and he began to ask the soldiers, and he said, do you remember where you served in World War II? And do you remember whose command you were in and under and what division you were in? And he asked them various questions, and then he asked these men, now in their 80s, he said, and one final question. Do you happen to remember a little town called North Platte, Nebraska? And he said to a man, the dozens of men that he interviewed began to immediately weep. And all of these years later, they would begin to testify by saying, that was the town that loved us. That was the town that helped us. That was the town that gave us gifts. That was the town that wrote us letters. That was the town that said, go get them. You can do the job. You can get it done. And as I read that story, I thought, isn't that amazing? That one little town unified around one cause, and they were greatly used to encourage our soldiers as they went to battle in World War II. And 40 and 50 years later, when someone asked them, do you remember North Platte, Nebraska? They immediately wept because their lives had been touched. And then I thought about another sign. I thought about the sign, Lancaster Baptist Church outside. And I couldn't help but wonder, 40 and 50 years from now, if you were to go to find some people and ask them, did you live in Lancaster? Yes, I did. Do you remember the Joshua trees? Yes, I do. Did the wind ever blow there? Yes, it did. And if they were to show them this little sign and say, did you ever go to a place called Lancaster Baptist Church? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if thousands of men and women would have tears coming down their faces as they said, that was the place that loved me. That was the place that helped me. They helped me when I was having hard times. They helped my marriage get back together. They opened the Bible and showed me there is a heaven and a hell and a way to go to heaven. And they introduced me to Jesus Christ. And I'm saying, if North Platte, Nebraska could encourage 6 million people, would be to God that we would strive together with one spirit and touch this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, you see, God is calling us today. Oh, I believe it with all of my heart. If we'll gather together in our soul winning, in our serving, in teaching classes and driving buses, and recognize as we give our tithes and offerings, we're putting gas in those buses and we're making it possible to purchase the Sunday school curriculum and keep the ministry going forward. I believe God is pleased when men and women work together in one spirit for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was thinking this past week about a difficult point in my ministry. Back when we were trying to build our first multi-million-dollar building, our building chairman's here, Brother Hartzell, he'd recall, we lost our general contractor. times were tough, and Brother Dan and I were trying to figure it out, and that's back when we both had hair, too. I always tell him that. One night we gathered with a few hundred men in that north building. There was no roof even on the building. It was just walls. We were serving as really contractors, doing a type of contracting from within, if you would. And just as we did our very best to kind of do a construction management style, we were trying to catch up with the bills, and the contractor had left town and gone bankrupt, and we didn't know exactly what the budget was. And I remember one night receiving a bill for more than $60,000 from the electrical contractor that wasn't in the budget. And I remember those sleepless nights and going to the Lord in prayer and saying, Lord, this is too hard. I don't know what to do here. And I'm trying to get counsel. I'm trying to study. But Lord, I need your help. God, help me and help the church. And Lord, help this building to get built for your honor and glory. I remember going to that meeting right there and sharing with the men, fellas, I'm telling you, God's been good, but we've got a ways to go. And I said, fellas, I'm sorry to tell you. And this wasn't in the budget, and I was so conscientious that everything was going to be right on that budget. And I said, this one wasn't $61,000, I believe it was. And I said, it came in. And I got to tell you, we have a great need tonight. And I felt like a failure as a pastor. I didn't know exactly what would happen. I thought maybe there might be a man and say, you don't know what you're doing. What's going on around here? I thought perhaps someone would be unkind. The devil would get a little edge in there. And I remember as I shared my burden, the man raised his hand. He said, Pastor, I'll give $500. Another man said, Pastor, I'll give $1,000. Another man said, I'll give $5,000. I'll give $100. I'll give $50. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that within just a few moments, that $61,000 bill was paid to the glory of God, because there was one spirit moving on the hearts of hundreds of men. And what a great joy it has been for 25 years to see what can be done when there is a spirit of unity to the glory of our God. Oh, the devil would have liked to laughed and laughed at an unfinished building, but God was glorified because of what was done. We must have a spirit of unity. Notice secondly, a spirit of understanding. A spirit of understanding. Now notice our text again, verse 27. He said that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that we stand fast in one spirit. Now notice the next phrase, please. With one mind. Would you say that with me? With now, God says He wants us to have one spirit. We saw that was possible through the Holy Spirit. He wants us now to have one mind. And someone says, Pastor Chapel, one spirit, I can almost fathom that. But you're trying to get thousands of people from different backgrounds and different upbringings, and you want us to have one mind. You're never going to get Baptists to have one mind on anything. But how many of you saw that right in the Bible? One mind. How can we as a varied group of people have one mind? May I remind you of how it's done? By staying in one book. I hope that this year you'll get a Bible reading schedule. I'm going to give you one tonight. I hope that you'll say, I want the mind of God for my life. I want to know God's will for my life. I'm going to stay in the book, the Word of God, Philippians 2:2, fulfill you my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Listen, the way to learn the mind of God is to sit at the feet of Jesus and to spend time with God and read the Word of God. If you're going to get to know someone, you've got to spend some time with them. This past week, Terry and I celebrated our 30th anniversary, 30 years of marriage. I'm kind of a slow learning husband, but over the years I've learned there are some things my wife likes and things she doesn't like. I've learned that my wife likes Diet Coke in a cup with ice and a straw. I'm very different from her. I mean, if I'm thirsty, as long as it's sort of cold and wet, it doesn't have to be a straw, doesn't have to be ice. People say, I'll have a Coke. They'll say, is Pepsi okay? Doesn't matter to me. I can't tell the difference. I go to your house, you might say, do you want iced tea or lemonade or Diet Coke? I might say, any one is fine with me. Put them all three together, it doesn't matter. I don't consider myself real picky that way, in that way. I'm not saying Terry's picky, she just knows what she wants. She's a woman with convictions, brother. Diet Coke with ice and a straw. I've had to learn there's times when she needs me to be real quiet so she can talk. There's times when she needs to know what's on my mind. There's times when we need to get the calendar out. There's times when she just might need to have a little special time alone. The Bible commands me to dwell with my wife according to knowledge. And the way I get to know my wife and the way we have unity is by spending time together. And so it is with God. If we will spend time in His Word, we will have an understanding of His mind for our life. And God's will for us in this new year is that together we would stand with right convictions. And that together with one spirit, we would move forward in the new year, working together by His Holy Spirit. But I want you to see finally this morning that we're to be together in our striving. Together in our striving. Like those who would row the oars for a rowboat, striving together. In the right stand, yes. In the right spirit, yes. But with the right striving as well. Now again, these words, soon athleo, together as in an athletic competition, emphasizing the sacrificing of one's own will or welfare in order that the team might win. Listen, it's not about being a superstar. It's about being a super team. It's about working together. It's about striving together for the team. Now, why is it that any of us would say, all right, I have precious time and precious talent and precious treasure. Why would we want once again to step into this battlefield and step together out to do the will of Almighty God? Let me remind you of two reasons as we close. Number one, because we are striving against a common foe. We are striving against a common foe. Now, folks, I got to tell you, the devil and his demons don't want you to live for God this year. The devil's like a roaring lion, and he likes to kind of hang around for the stragglers, the ones that are going to miss a lot of church, the ones that aren't going to read their Bible. He's going to watch for the lambs on the edge of the flock because he wants to take you out. Do you understand that? Your foe is not your wife or husband. It's not some other Christian. The foe is the devil today. And the battle against the devil is not spiritual battle. I saw a Peanuts cartoon where there was a little story of Lucy, and she walked in and saw her brother Linus watching television. She looked at Linus and she said, Linus, change that channel right now. Kind of a bossy gal. Linus looked at her and said, what makes you think you can walk right in here and take over? Lucy said, these five fingers right here. She said, individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them together like this, they form a single unit and a weapon that is terrible to behold. Linus, like the typical American man, said, what channel do you want? He walked over to the TV, he looked at his fingers, he said, why can't you guys get organized like that? Now, folks, if you think you're going to have a great year because you look yourself in the mirror and say, I am great, this will be a great year, I am having the power of positive thinking, I'm going to fight my way through, you're missing the whole point. Because it's not about psyching ourselves up. No, no. We better go depending on the strength of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I remember when I came to Lancaster 25 years ago. I remember putting up my ordination certificate, my college degree, in a little room downstairs at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard. My little library, my desk. I was so happy to have a little office. We didn't really have a phone or a staff or a coffee pot, but I had an office, praise the Lord. I was proud of it. I remember a night or two later when the thieves broke in and took all the books and threw them on the ground and poured Kool-Aid on them. Broke the certificates and the degree, broke the frames. I remember our little sound system. We only had a handful of people, but my motto was, we're going to blast them out for Jesus, brother. Had a microphone and speakers. Remember coming in one morning and they had clipped the wires and took the speakers and stole the microphone. I remember buying a new sign that said Lancaster Baptist Church. A few days after we put it up there, some fellas had come by with rocks and threw rocks at the sign. I remember figuring out right away, you know what? This thing of serving God, this is a war. And I'm telling you, if you're going to live for God in the new year, the devil's not going to be happy about it. Notice what it says here in verse 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. The author of fear is the devil. And he is going to try to terrify you. But notice what it says, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. In other words, the fact that there's adversity is evidence of the fact that those that would steal and those that would hurt and those that would criticize, they are not of the Lord. And the fact of the matter is, it says in verse number 28, but to you of salvation. Let me help you with just a little spiritual maturity this morning. If you hit some tough times, if you hit some trials, if someone criticizes you or your car breaks down, it doesn't necessarily mean it's time to move. It's time to go to another place. It's time to find where the grass is greener on the other side. It may mean that you are exactly where God wants you. And that instead of throwing in the white towel, it's time to just keep on keeping on for the Lord. He said, when that happens, that's evidence that the devil's using them, and it's evidence that you're saved and going in the right direction. Oh, listen, demonic power. But notice also destructive teaching. Destructive teaching. 2 Peter 3:16 speaks about men who will wrest the scriptures and they will take them out of context and give false teaching. Jude in verse 4 says it this way, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that the devil has his teachers? The devil has his false angels. The devil has his false prophets. We need to live and understand and have enough discernment. Just because someone's on TV with a suit and a Bible doesn't mean they're preaching the truth. We need to recognize that there is a battle for the faith today, and we need to stand against the common foe and stand together for the common faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're standing on the truth of the Word of God, you see. Standing against a common foe, but notice secondly, striving for a common faith. What does it say in verse 27? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. This little Hollywood movie went on to say that all roads lead to the same place. Every religion's just about fine. But I believe that there is a name that is above every name. I believe there is a name that at His name every knee will bow. I believe that every day, every man, woman, boy, and girl will have a day when they stand before Almighty God, and that Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. That, my friend, is the faith that we hold dear. And we're not striving together for our little credo, for our little concept. We are striving together for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Paul the Apostle said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, it'd be a wonderful thing when your life is over. If someone stood, should the Lord tarry at my funeral service or your service, and they could say, here was a man who stood for the faith. Here was a woman who stood for the faith. Here was a man who was faithful to the Word of God. He would not compromise the Word of God. Even though he lived in California, still he would not let the culture tell him how church should be, how family should be, how life should be. He was a man who went by the book, the Word of God. Striving together for the faith. The unity of the local church is grounded in the faith of the gospel. Now, what kind of Christianity will your children and your grandchildren have someday? Will it be inclusion church with pierced and branded and multi-Bibles and multi-lifestyles and multi-roads? That's the church the world wants. Or will it be a church striving together still for the faith of the gospel? I believe much of what our next generation is going to experience depends on my being faithful and our striving together. May we be together in our stand, whether one comes or is absent, that we would have a stand that is consistent. May we be together in our spirit. May we be together in our striving for the faith of Jesus Christ, shall we pray. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for loving us and calling us.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily teaching and preaching ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Thanks so much for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. And I want to encourage you, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven and that Jesus Christ is in your life, I want to encourage you to visit us online or to call us toll-free and let us talk with you about that. We would be happy to help you understand more clearly what it means to trust Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. or you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Not only can you find out more information about salvation, but there's a lot of resources on our website that will help you and encourage you in your spiritual growth, including a daily devotional from Dr. Chapel, links to recent broadcasts that perhaps you missed, also a way to subscribe to the podcast of Daily in the Word so you can take this program with you on your iPod or on your computer to listen to at your convenience. This and many, many more resources are available at dailyintheword.org. I want to encourage you to be sure to check out the link about new publications resources. You'll see the photo there on the homepage. There's a link to Dr. Chapel's new book. Mrs. Chapel has written a new book entitled The Choice is Yours, and many other resources that we know will encourage you in your journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this again at dailyintheword.org. We'd love to hear from you. Toll free 1-800-201-7748, or write to us. Send your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thank you so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.